I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, if you want to go back there with us today, we're talking about preparing for a successful 2012. I mentioned last week that I don't think success comes by just accident and just, you know, you don't just happen into success. And I think it's something we prepare for or we don't prepare. And kind of like the tape said a while ago on the Dave Ramsey thing. And by the way, if you'd like to take the Dave Ramsey, if you'd like to say, I'd like to get control over my money this year. That's one of my goals. If you'll see Summer right after service, she's going to be kind of the facilitator of the, it's like 13 weeks, isn't it? And she'll be the facilitator. And if you want to get that in order, just see her after service, and she'll be helping for the next 13 weeks with that. So I don't think anything we do is just accidental, that we trip into success. And by the way, success to each of us will be different. Your version of what a success is would be different from mine. Jan and I watched the debates last night. This is the first one I've watched, and all the candidates has kind of cleared out now and settled in, and I thought, I want to watch the debates and all. And one of the things that grieved my heart was not even the person that was on the stage, but was George Stephanopoulos. Great man. I would like to watch him on the morning news. But George was there last night, and today, this morning, he's back at work again, and he's moderating the political show, whatever it's called. And I thought, you know, that's 7 days a week, and he has two little kids at home. And I thought, isn't it funny how your values change? And I value family. That's one of my values, and my schedule shows that. But I thought it just, I told Janet this morning, it kind of grieved my heart for George that he's 7 days a week now. And I said, hopefully he's made provisions for that. But those are the kind of things I look at now when I see successful people is what they value. And I know all your values won't be the same as mine. But I want to challenge you in 2012 to make sure what your values are, one. Then you should sit down and see what your values are. And make sure you're living in that. Because how many knows during the course of a year we get busy, things pull us this way and that way with work and family and emergency things. And I understand that. We all have that, don't we, where maybe something's out of balance over here and we have to spend a little more time in an area than we normally would. But it should be for a season, not in our lives. Everything we do should be on a sustainable pace. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, are you on a sustainable pace? Yeah. And that is such a valuable question. What you're doing right now, are you on a sustainable pace? Here's another good question you can ask if you want to be a success in 2012. Is the path that I'm on, does it line up with my values, and does it bring joy or is it draining to me? You know, is it life-giving or is it draining? That is such an important question. As you look at your day and you look at your week and you look at if there's not joy in what you're doing and peace about it, you need to change something, or you're headed for a nervous breakdown or a burnout or something. And so the pace that you're on, the things you do, and so last week I took you and we looked at some of the verses, I think it's 20 and 21 and through there, because I wanted you to see something, and just let me kind of do a little review here. But what we looked at was this. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so wherever your treasure is, whatever you're treasuring, that's where your heart will be. And then wherever your heart is, then he goes into the eye, what is how we see things. And so wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. And where your heart is, that's how you're going to see things. One of my values, for instance, is family. And when I see a guy like George Stephanopoulos working 7 days a week, and I know in broadcasting it's long hours anyway, it just breaks my heart for the guy. And used to, I wouldn't even thought about that. I wouldn't have cared about that. But it bothers me today when I see people that should have, if you have a family and young kids, that should be the top of your value list is the little kids. Jana had to help me with that when we started pastoring and our kids were still teenagers. And I was wanting to go out and witness every night and go here and there every night. And she said, we need to be home for the kids. And I said, they're in their room. They don't even come out. She says, well, when they come out, we'll be here. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I see the value in that. And she had to really fight for that because I'm, you know, I go out and, you know, get things done and I thought I had to visit every visitor that came by. And you know, so there's a balance in everything, isn't there? There's a balance. And here's what I want you to do. If you have trouble saying, well, I'm not sure what I value, where my treasure is, here's all you have to do. If you don't know where your treasure is, just look at your daily schedule from Monday to Sunday and see where you're spending your time and your hours and your energy, and that's what you value. I mean, it's a simple process, but I hope that you will do this. Some of you called me or texted me and said, I'm gonna take heed to what you said Sunday, and I'm gonna change course in this area, and I'm gonna do this year. That's exciting to me. I know some of you are listening and getting a hold of it, and I hope that everybody to a degree will say, you know what do I need to tweak in my life to have a successful year this year? You know, if you've had health issues, well, what can you tweak to be healthier this year? It may not be a lot, but it'd be a lot to you, and it's something. And here's what I know. When we tweak something that's out of order and we do it, it can be a baby step, something small, but whenever we do something to go in the right direction, it builds our confidence, it builds our esteem, it does a lot of good for us. I read a book, it's called The Kaizen Way. I think it's One Small Step to Success or something. But it's called the Kaizen Way. And a guy says, people come to him in their clutter. You know, they got clutter everywhere. Some of you, that might be something you want to work on this year. I haven't been to all of your homes, but if I came to your home, would you say, that's something I need to work on? But you just can't seem to get motivated. So what he said to them was, well, let me ask you something. What's out of order? And he writes it down. And for instance, if they have a desk, he says, you know, and there's paper clips are scattered in the envelopes are everywhere and the books are everywhere, you know. He says, well, could you move one paper clip and put it in the little container this week? And of course the answer is, well, of course I could do that, but that's kind of, he said, well, don't worry about it. Just move one paper clip over and put it in the little container this week. Can you do that? And then we'll meet next week. And they said, well, yeah, I can do that. And he said, almost every time without exception, they'll move the whole paper clip and then they'll do two or three other things. And the problem sometimes is not doing it, it's the getting started. It's just doing something. So what I'd like you to do this year is say, you know what? I'm gonna make sure that I'm living where my treasure is. I'm gonna look at my schedule, I'm gonna look at my day, and I'm gonna see what's in my day. And if what I say I value is not in lining up with what I have here, then I'm gonna change. I'm gonna tweak, and just tweak something. It don't have to be, but just tweak something. If you want to start a savings account or a little account that you're putting money in and or an investment account, just do a little something. Just start it. But whatever the minimum is, just put it in there. If you want to lose a pound or two, just do something. Just say, I could leave two bites on my plate. You know, for you that lick your plate when you're done. Just, I could leave two bites. Something. We heard on the news last night, we were sitting there and on the news, they said, if you work out, and Jan and I work out almost every day, says, if you work out and you sit for 4 hours or more, then it's, you're more likely to die. You know, because you're sitting after you work out. And that just really bothered me. Because, you know, when I'm reading and studying, I'm usually sitting down. And so I told her, I think it's just a bunch of crap. And I'm not changing my exercise and I'm not changing my vocation. I'm going to exercise and I'm going to sit and read. I may stand once in a while or what. They said that probably won't help you, just to stand up. But I thought, you know, they tell us everything that's killing us. And they say, you know, a few years ago, coffee was bad for you. Now two or three cups of coffee is good for you. I'm going to drink it whether they say it's good or bad. How about you? Coffee is one of my values. I love my coffee. We go to Guatemala, Dominican, wherever it is. First thing I want to know, do we have coffee around here in the mornings? You know, Mark and I, we're coffee drinkers. And we go to Dominican, and man, he'd make sure we had our coffee. I thought, thank you for Mark, Lord Jesus. But every one of us have values. And so all I'm saying is, what do you need to tweak? And if you'll start, this is a new year. You know, we have all these blank pages ahead of us. Just start a new year just tweaking some of the things. You know, just doing some tweaks that we need to do. And watch what God will do. He said, if you'll be faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. And so the areas that we need to tweak, just do that. We talked about, charity and how important it is. He says when you're given charitable, doing charitable deeds, you know, and for you maybe that don't have that in your schedule this year, giving yourself away somewhere, charitable deeds, make sure that's a part of your year, would you? Because God says charity covers a multitude of sin. That don't save you. It's not the blood of Jesus Christ. But man, charity does something for us. You know, and God takes it very personal when we're doing charitable deeds. He said, when you do it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. And it's like any kind of a charitable deed that we go out and do, he says, I take that very personal. It's kind of like if you have kids or grandkids and somebody comes over and blesses your kid or grandkid or one of your loved ones that you just love and you see them blessed. Just like when Anna was standing here this morning and people were giving to her and hugging her and giving her well wishes, I can guarantee you it was blessing her mother. How do you know? Because she's standing there back there with big red eyes and bawling. That's how I know. It meant something to you, didn't it? Yeah. It meant something to her when we prayed over her child. It touched her. And God says, I'm the same way. When you touch one of my children, you've touched me. You've touched my heart. And that's why it feels so good. And that's why we feel so blessed. And then he says, great is your reward. In other words, we worry about economy and economics and all that kind of stuff. But God says, if you'll just take care of my kid, I'll take care of you. So make sure that charity is on your list. Here's something, and I don't know why I didn't catch it, but I like to just look at words and break them down. And I was studying this week and going back through this, and I caught this. When it talks about charitable, the dictionary says generous in donation or gifts to relieve the needs of the impoverished, the ill, the helpless person, or of animals. Charitable, and that's what we think about. But I want to give you something that's kind of eye-opening, and it's different. But it's a charitable avenue that I want you to look at. And it maybe the reason it means so much to me and it was so eye-opening to me is because I have begun to practice this in my own life. And it's been tremendous for me. But here's the second definition when it says charitable. It says kindly or lenient in judgment, in judging people or acts. Let me read it again. Here's charitable. The second definition is kindly or lenient in judging people or acts. In other words, you can be charitable, I can be charitable, and not give any kind of monetary, not give any of my time and doing the deed, but it comes from here and here. I think this is where we need to grow as a church. This is where I need to grow, and I am growing in it, and it feels wonderful. I can, you know, anymore when I'm looking at people and I'm looking at what I see and what I like and what I don't like. For instance, you know, when you're driving around and all of a sudden you pull off the interstate and there's a guy with a sign or a woman with a sign, will need food, hungry, whatever their sign says. What do you think about? All of us, it stirs a reaction, doesn't it? Whatever it is, some of you have compassion. Some of you wish to get out of your off the street. Some of you wish you could help. Some of you do help. It's just. Our son-in-law the other day says he likes to go up and just hang a dollar out the window and then take off. He was just being facetious. He don't really, do you? You don't really do that, do you? And the kids just looked at him, you know, we're talking about those people. But you know, it stirs something in you. But here's what I've learned. I don't know how they got there. And this is where I become more charitable. I don't know how they got there. I'm not sure how they, were they mistreated? Were they lazy? You know, I can think the worst, or I can be charitable and do something in a positive. Remember last week we talked about this year, are you positive? Are you negative? Are you more of a positive person? Is that when you look at something, do you look at it in a positive way, or if it can be construed as negative, is that the way you pick it up and take it? Listen, most of the time when I'm preaching and teaching and giving out, if something is said negative or you've taken it as a negative thing and you talk it around, most of the time it comes back to me. It's just like a boomerang. You hurl out something negative, it goes, and it comes back. And it's not a real constant trickle, but it's just a little trickle. Just here it comes, you know. Because I've said something, instead of coming to me and saying, how did you mean this? But here's what I'd like to help you grow in just a little bit this year. If I'm up here or somebody's teaching, Gina's teaching or somebody else is preaching or teaching or singing or doing something for the kingdom of God or in their life, if it could be negative, it could be positive, take it in a positive light. Just trust me on this. It'll help you grow. It'll help your family grow. It'll help your mind grow. Because I'm going to tell you this, however you receive it, and if it can be taken negative, that's the way you're going to take it. I can guarantee you this, you're training your kids on how to hear stuff and how to respond. I'd be done by 12. There we go. You want me to turn this one off, or is it okay? It's okay. All right. But what I want you to do is I want to practice this for my own life, and that is I want to say if I can take it in a more positive light. We were watching a little show we like. I don't remember the name of it, but it's a little family show the other night, and they were all going to see Grandma, and Dad wanted them to go, and all the grown kids and the grandkids, and they're going to see them, and they have a big blow up, and all of a sudden they turn around and they're going home. And I told Jan, I said, I'm a lot like that guy. If it's not going my way, I am. I'm a lot more than I want to admit that I'm like that guy. How about you? Are you like that guy if it's not going your way? And I said, I want to kind of change that and be less like that guy. If it's not going my way. Now, it all ended good. The kids came because he'd instilled the right values in them, and that's important, isn't it, to instill the right values? So anyway, I just recognize that. And I want to be more charitable. I want to be more charitable in when I'm looking at people and judging what they're doing and why they're doing it, because I don't know where they've been. I just don't know where they've been. Now, here's what will help us distinguish between the act and the person. That's what Jesus did very well, wasn't it? When they would bring him somebody, like they brought the lady that was caught in the very act, they said of prostituting and adultery, that, you know, he said he just loved on her, you know. He said, and he began to scan the audience, and he said, you know, which one of you don't have sin? You can cast the first stone. Well, everybody had sin, and they begin to look at her in a different light. That's the way I want us to look at people in that kind of a life this year, and separate what they're doing and what we think they represent, and saying this is somebody that God has created in His image, in His likeness. This is somebody God gave His life for, Jesus died for, and to begin to look at them differently. And separate that, and I want to tell you something. For some of us that's older, that's going to be a good stretch. And for maybe some of you younger, it won't be as hard. But you know what? There should, wherever we are in a room, everybody should be on level ground. You know what I'm saying? Everybody should be, whether they're you know, got this title or don't have a title, or they've got a lot of money or no money. It should be level ground that we're all God's children. We're just at different places doing different things and different callings, you know. Kind of like what Anna said a while ago. If that's where God wants me to go and that's what God wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Wasn't that good stuff to say, you know? I thought she wanted to go. I didn't know that until she just said that a while ago. And And so I thought that was just all of her deal. And then when she heard I didn't want to go, I thought, well, my first thought was, I guess Don and Jimmy's sending her off. And then she, once you explain, I'm glad you explained, because that's what we'd all thought, you know, bless your heart, they're sending you out of the country. So, but to say, you know what, I want to look at things different. I want to look at it like God had me look at it. I want to do the way God wants me to. You know, it's a difference. So be charitable in our thinking and not being so judgmental. That really ministered to me, and I maybe elaborated a little more than I should on that, but that really, in our charitable deeds this year, I just wanted to plant that seed to look at people differently and give more grace this year. You know, you'll hate the act, right? You don't approve of what they're doing, but you love the person. See, big difference, isn't it? And here's what will happen, too, that will come back to you as a reward. People begin to look at you and love you and something maybe you're doing that they don't approve of, but they'll love you and they'll just look at the act. Because the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So as we sow that this year, being more charitable in not judging others, he said that will come back to us. And that'll be a great part of our life as well. Now, look in Matthew chapter 6. So that's down to about chapter 4, I mean verse 4. And so we'll pick up at verse 5. And I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about prayer. It says, and he begins to tell us how important prayer is. One of the things that I have noticed, people... We have some friends, for instance, that God said no to a very important request in their life. And so kind of their philosophy, best I can figure now, is they don't pray. Because from one of our friends on admission says, I feel like God knows what I need anyway, so I just don't pray. How many knows that God at different times in our life is going to look at us in different situations and say no? That's just a fact of life. In fact, Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and give you this in case you have to leave early. But here's something we should put in our prayer life, nevertheless. Did you hear me? This is something that when we pray, we should always include, nevertheless. Nevertheless says, I'm going to give you room to be a sovereign, all-knowing, loving God. I may not like the outcome, I may not, but how many knows He's going to do it whether you say nevertheless or not? Nevertheless is not for God. Nevertheless is for you and me. When Jesus said, Lord, if this cup can pass, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He's teaching us how to pray in a very stressful situation. I don't believe He wanted to take on our sin if there was another way. Remember, He came and He was fully God and fully man. And so His carnal side, as He dwelt in this flesh, He said He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, or we were tempted. And so He's saying in that regard, He's saying, if this cup can pass, I don't think it was as much the whipping and the thorns and all that. That might have been a part of it, but I think the biggest part of His prayer was, I've never been separated from you. I never want to be separated from you. And please, if there's any way that I can not know this sin and this dark side, I would rather not. Because remember, He was the supreme sacrifice, the Lamb of God that knew no sin. And so when we're praying, just remember, there is a place in our prayer for nevertheless. Now let's look what he taught us. And He's teaching His disciples in verse 5, Matthew 6. When you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites. And it talks about hypocrites are like actors. They're, you know, they're portraying, you know, Miss Dorothy is a hypocrite. It, when she goes to her plays, she plays Miss Worthington. The drunk old actress. That's not who she is at all. But that's where we get the word hypocrite, the actor. They're playing something they're not. You know, and she's not a hypocrite except for when she's acting. She does a very good role when she's acting. Listen, and He says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. You know, for some of you that you know, you're intimidated about prayer and, you know, because, oh, I don't pray eloquently. You know what? Prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is just talking to your Father. That last song we did in praise today, wasn't that could you feel that as just talking to God and just, man, I saw people wiping tears and stuff. That's all you were doing through song. You were just lifting up your, and I know the words were scripted up here, but you were speaking that out of your heart to your Father, and that's why it touched you. That's why it touched me. It's because we meant it out of a sincere heart. And how many knows we were repeating the words? We repeated several times the words, but it was growing and it was touching. And so when he talks about praying like the hypocrites and repeating, he's not talking about don't ask again. Have you ever had a kid that the first time you told them no, they said, Daddy, Mama, can I do this? And then they said, please, 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 can I, please. I have said yes after some of those, haven't you? And I have said, if you ask me again, I'm going to whip you. But, you know, I mean, when they ask and they ask with that kind of a tone, you know it really means something to them. Addison, she's just terrible about stuff like that when we're eating. Was out Friday night eating, and after their meal, she said she wanted a sundae. And she hadn't even eaten her chicken, you know, and she wanted a sundae. And then we're back and forth, you know, their parents are like, you won't eat it, and we're not buying it. And so she looks at us. You know, and I says, will you eat every bite of it? If I get you this, you're going to eat every bite of it. This is her petitioning her grandpa, you know, and this is the way we petition God, right? I will, Lord, I'll use it, God, if I could just, you know, and some, how many, you know, in your past, ladies or guys, you've said, boy, if you'll just give me him, if you'll just give me her, Lord, I'll just honor, cherish till death do his part, and you just about died in the process. If you'd have said, nevertheless, if she's not the one, if he's not the one, pass him on by. I'll make it. How many knows that if you got Jesus, you can make it? Come on now, if you got Jesus, you can make it. I'd hate to have to make it without my lovely wife. We just have a great time, but I know I could. Because on my list of values, it's not Jana, it's faith. And that's my first priority on my list of values is my faith, which entails a lot of things, my calling, but more than anything, it's that one-on-one relationship. And I know if I keep that first value right, everything else will be added. That's the scripture, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, if we could just get that one thing down, we'd be a lot happy camper. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, we're saying, is this right, Lord? Is this right, Lord? Is this right? Is this your righteousness? Is this your will? Is this your way? And as we seek that, he said, all the things we need will be added. And that's what Jesus was saying when he said, nevertheless. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Now, I don't know if you connect reward with prayer, but God does. Did you hear me? I don't know if you connect reward with prayer, but God does. Jesus just said, if you will go in and have conversation and reverence your Father and spend time with God. And by the way, how many knows when he says that, he's wanting to spend time with you. Don't you just love it when the person that you love wants to spend time with you? Is there anything more precious and valuable than knowing that the person you love wants to spend time with you? I've heard it 1,000 times. I don't know, a gazillion times, Jana said, I love you, Jack. But it never gets old. She was in the laundry room last night, and I stood there looking at her in the laundry, and she looked up, saw me, she said, I love you, Jack. I'm thinking, yes. She still loves me. God says, I love it when you come in and you shut the door and you get in a room with me all alone, just me and you, and we're just talking and you're just visiting with me and loving on me and I'm loving. He said, and he rewards that. Listen, I don't know where your prayer life is this year, but it needs to be on track. Because there's great reward in talking to God. And I'll tell you something, if we keep this vertical thing, if we keep this relationship with God right, I'm telling you, He'll give us strength and power and endurance for everything we have to endure, but He'll also give us joy and peace. And that's a part of the fruits of the Spirit, you know. It'll just come through us because we have that right first. We think if this over here was just right and in order, everything would be in order. No. If this is out of order with you and the Father, that's when everything else can fall apart. And all of us are going to experience life. Some of us may not be here by the end of this year. But none of us have a guarantee. And here's something I found out. Age doesn't really matter. I've buried infants. I've buried stillborn. I've, in 2 and 3 year olds and teenagers. And so it really doesn't, we never know. But it doesn't matter if you have that relationship right. Because He'll help you through if you remain, or He'll help you on the other side if it's our time to go. And so prayer is very important. He says, man, and He'll reward you openly. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, the key there is vain repetition. He doesn't say you can't use sincere repetition. And He knows that if there's something heavy on your mind, until you get an answer, it's okay to bombard heaven. He just said, don't use vain repetition. Something that's not, you know. He gives us a little clue of that when He says, you know what? You don't receive when you ask because you ask amiss. You just heap it upon yourself. It's just another blessing on top of a blessing. And it's, you know, it's all about me, me, me. Now, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it what? More abundantly. So He's intended for us to enjoy the planet, you know, and to enjoy what He gives us. Did you know one of my values is fun? It is. And it's on my schedule. It is on my schedule. You can ask my wife, my kids, you know. My kids had to really talk the other day. My grandsons really had to put me on a guilt trip Wednesday night. He come over and we're here, and he found out we was going to go see my dad a couple weeks ago, and he says, can we go? We're out of school. Can we go? And I said, no, man, your nanny, we're going to hop on the motorcycle. It's going to be a pretty day, and we're riding the bike down. No kids allowed. Watch this. He petitioned me with repetition. He says, I'd really want to go. Can't you just not ride the motorcycle so we can go? And I said, no, man, your nanny, we're going to get on. It's going to be beautiful weather. We're going. We're going to have fun. It's going to be. He said, and then he really hit me. He said, do you not like to hang out with us anymore? You didn't take us snow skiing. And now we want to go have family and you're not taking us there. Do you not like to hang out with us anymore? Thought, well, shoot. That's a good petition there, isn't it? Guess what we took? The truck. Three little rugrats in the back. Who do you think put that in that little fella? God says, you know, petition Him, to pray for Him. And when we don't get it, unless He said no and it's obviously passed or it's done and we're not getting it, go ahead and petition Him again. Just don't use vain repetitions to heap it on yourself. Are you with me? I mean, you know, who do you think put this stuff in our heart and pulls at our heartstrings? God, He planted that in us, but He said don't use vain repetitions if it's just something. So look at your values and look at what God has said in His Word. If it lines up, you can petition Him as much as you want. In the garden, Jesus prayed 3 times, and not only did He pray 3 times, He asked His guys to pray with Him 3 times. But He got an answer and said, it is enough. The answer is no. The nevertheless has been answered, and that is no. And so I'm going to get up, and I know if He said no, He'll give me strength to go through. And if the answer is no, then God will give you strength to go through. Now watch. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. And that's where one of my friends I was talking about said, well, He knows what I need, so why ask? I'll tell you why, because He said ask. I think everybody that I've ever prayed for, every loved one, every church member, every church family member, every person I've ever prayed for healing that died, I think God will still look at me and say, well done, you ask. The answer was no, but my heart and my intentions were right, and I was interceding the way He taught me to, and I just hope that Satan will not rob you of asking things of your Father because it pleases Him. We had a good time with the grandkids, and I'm glad that we went, and I'm glad He petitioned us, and it worked out wonderful. But my value switched when I heard His plea. King Hezekiah, when he was 25 years old, inherited Judah, and he became king over Judah. When he was about 39 years old, the Bible said that the prophet came in, and Hezekiah was sick. And by the way, Hezekiah was a good king, if you read the Bible. And it said that he had tore down all the altars and the false gods and things, and so he was a great king. He was obedient. He followed the commands of Moses, the Bible says. And that almost cost him. You know, we're in a political year, and we hear these guys and talking about, you know, getting criticized for being against abortion and same-sex marriage and all that stuff. Last night on the debate, they really was hammering the Republican candidates because of that. Hezekiah he had a part of that on him because the king of Assyria came in and he says, you know what? He's torn down all your altars that you all these sacred cows, if you will, that you used to worship, and now He's making you worship this God. And we've already ran over all these different countries. Their gods didn't help them. Hezekiah's taken all of your gods down, and so who's going to help you? And we're coming for you. And all the people looking at the facts how these other gods didn't help, and He's taken all of our other gods we were praying to down, and you can feel the pressure in the text as you read it. But Hezekiah laid the letter out before the Lord, and he prayed, and God sent the death angel, if you will, and destroyed a lot of the Syrians, and they went home. When he's 39, he comes down ill. He's got a boil on his body, and he thinks he's going to die. And in fact, the word from the Lord was it's sent by Isaiah the prophet, and he comes to him and says, the word is, you're going to die. And immediately, and it's important to know that this king was righteous. Listen, when we have sin in our life, we're at a different place when we're talking to God. How many knows when your kids is standing in disobedience and they're being defiant of what you've told them to do and how to conduct themselves, and they're breaking our morals and values in our home, and they're standing defiant of that, and they come and ask you something, it's going to be a different ask, isn't it? It is at my house. But when they're righteous and they're going the extra mile, and, you know, our kids are at church, they love to come to church, and they're worshiping the Lord, and they come with a petition, and, you know, sometimes I just have to say yes. So he's come, and he's a righteous king, and he comes, and before Isaiah can get out of the courtyard, he's on his knees, and he's crying before the Lord to save him, and he's reminding him that I've walked in your statutes, and I've kept your commandments, and God speaks to the prophet before he gets out of the courtyard and says, go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. Now, I don't want you to think if you cry tears, you're going to touch God's heartstrings, because it's not just about tears. It's about his righteous living, and it's about his petition that he put before God that touched his heart. Listen, church, keep praying. Keep praying. And God will say yes or no, and he'll give you strength for whatever you need. But keep praying. Keep praying. He says, and he gives us an example how to pray in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. When I pray that prayer every day. I can remember a time I stood and made fun of some nuns for praying that prayer. I thought, is that all you got? And I've come around to a cycle where I thought, boy, how can you improve on Jesus' prayer? How stupid of me. What a stupid boy I was. Joyce likes that, doesn't she? Give us this day our daily bread. And you know, whatever's on your plate this day, today, that's your daily bread. Today, Lord, this is what I need on my plate. Today, this is what I'm asking for. I'm asking for strength. I'm asking for restoration of my broken heart. I'm asking for direction in the midst of my confusion. Whatever your daily bread is, not just food, but whatever you need today, you know, give us today that daily bread. This is what I need today. And that's what I pray for me and for my family and my church family and my extended family and our state and our country, that today, Lord, whatever is being done in heaven, come to earth. Let that be revealed here. And then he says, and forgive us our debts. Forgive me, Lord, for being stubborn, for being hateful, for wanting my way. You know, whatever it is that we've done today, search me, O God, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, he says, if you want me to forgive you, I expect you to release those that have hurt you, those that have sinned against you. That's very important. And if you can't do it on your own, don't worry about it. He'll give you help to do it. Just say it. One of the most powerful things I ever learned in my life was just to say, I forgive them, whether I felt it or not. It was one of the most powerful things, freeing things that I ever experienced in my life, just to say, if you've hurt me, I forgive them in Jesus' name. I don't care about the feelings anymore. That'll come. But I've said what he told me to say. You ever corrected a child and you say, tell them you're sorry, and they say, sorry. That's the best they could do. And sometimes you'll work on attitude. Sometimes you'll just say, "That's I know that kid, and that's the best they can do. You're dismissed." The thing is, they've acted in obedience. And that's what I'm saying to you. When somebody's hurt you or somebody's betrayed you and you're trying, just say it. Just go ahead and say it. You don't worry about the feelings. They'll catch up with you. But it's really important that you say it. And then when you do say, you can even tell the Lord, I don't feel it. I don't really mean it. But I want to mean it because you told me that it would help me. But I'm just telling you, I need your help to really feel it and mean it, okay? But I did say it. It's okay. And you have not because what? You ask not. And then he says, and Lord, do not lead us into temptation. I mean, the Lord led Jesus into temptation, cost him 40 days of fasting and three different bouts with the devil. Jesus said, just go ahead and ask him. You don't want to go there. Just go ahead and say, lead us not into temptation if that's okay. And he says, but if you do, deliver us from the evil one. If you're in the midst of something, just ask him, deliver us from this, Lord. I don't want to be in the midst of this stuff. And then it says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And by the way, that last line, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, that's not in certain of the old texts and things, but I think it really fits, and I think it's appropriate because we start with praise and we end with praise. And then he goes into forgiveness and all. But I just want you to know that prayer should be on the high value list for you and me this year. Talking to your Father, just alone with you and God, he said, I'll reward that and I love that. So let me ask you, where is your prayer life this year? Is it where you think it needs to be, where God thinks it needs to be? And don't worry about what anybody else. Remember when it was Larry Lee started that, can't you pray 1 hour? And everybody was praying an hour, and we had a list and was going down it. And I prayed that for a long time, but I thought, you know, that just isn't me anymore. But you ought to have a system that works for you. And I know systems are kind of a relationship that works for you. How about that? That says, I speak, this is when I love talking to my Father. This is when I love coming before His presence. Whenever that is. Whenever it's the best for you. But develop a time when He can meet. Put Him on your schedule. And it's just you and God. And you pray and you talk. And some of you might say, I do that all day long. If that's how you do it, praise the Lord for that. Because that's kind of my system. I pray this prayer in the morning before I get out of bed. That's done, said, and prayed. And then I get out of bed and I'm just talking to Him all day long. I spend a lot of time in the Word and reading good books and alone with Him. So, I talk to Him a lot that way, just throughout the day about different things and about different situations here. But just make that a priority in your life. God loves that, and He rewards that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We ask, God, that you would help us examine our prayer life, our conversation, our heart-to-heart talks with you. And God, put that in a place this year that's pleasing to you, that is sustainable, that's life-giving to us. And help us, God, to be faithful over that. Thank you for visiting us in such a powerful way this morning. As we just reached out to you this morning, you're always reaching out to us. And that should be on a daily basis we do that, where we're just reaching up to you and you're reaching down to us and we're having that conversation. We're getting clarity and getting direction. That's, I believe, our great reward that you give us is when we're speaking to you and asking you about things and asking you about things in our life and interceding for others. And all of a sudden, we just begin to walk in that and the clarity comes. And that's one of the great rewards that we get. So help us, God, that put that on our calendar, on our schedule. That's where our treasure should be in a powerful way, is spending time with you this year. So forgive us if we haven't, and help us, God, to get that on track this year. So as we seek you, your kingdom first, and your righteousness, all these things that we've been concerned about will come in order. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. In Jesus' name, all the church.